طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today is our 63rd session, session 63. Reading from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, the Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And by the way, this is our last chapter from this course in Fiqh, yani the Book of Hajj. So we've come a long way and covered a lot of material over this past 63 weeks. But now we're in the last book, the Book of Hajj. And I'm just saying that because soon after we finish these few chapters, we'll be finished with this book. And we'll be trying to decide, a topic to take after this. So I thought of a number of topics. I don't want to discuss it now, but I'm just putting it out there. I thought of, another Islamic science like Usul al-Fiqh or Mustalah Hadith. And I also thought of something purely in Arabic language, which would be limited in its benefit only to those who are advanced or at least have a strong foundation in Arabic, like Al-Ajrumiyya, explanation of Ajrumiyya. I thought of a few things like this. So, and if somebody has a suggestion, I'll consider them. But not now, but just think about it, because maybe in another month or two, we'll be finished with this last chapter, and we'll be finished with this course. Okay, so today we're doing Kitab al-Hajj, the chapter of the essential pillars of pilgrimage, Arkan al-Hajj. And it's in our textbook on page 80 and 81. And for secondary sources, there are a number of sources that we may refer to today or in the coming session if we don't finish today. That is Al-Wajiz fi Fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab al-Aziz, pages 252 and 253. And after we read from the text of the book, we're going to usually read from Al-Wajiz. And then after that, there are a couple of notes here in Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen on pages 328 to 330. And then there's also some notes, some detailed notes concerning this topic in Al-Mulakhsas al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan on pages 298 to 300. And finally, there's a small note that I want to refer to related to an issue of difference of opinion that we're going to come across in the Arkan of Hajj from Manasik al-Hajj wal-Umrah by Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, pages 30 and 31. We didn't use this book, Manasik al-Hajj, before. We didn't refer to it. But we had been referring in previous books from this course, we have been referring to the Ikhtiyarat al-Faqih of Sheikh al-Albani. But there was nothing there dealing with this topic, so I looked in Manasik al-Hajj wal-Umrah by Sheikh al-Albani, his famous book on Hajj and Umrah, pages 30 and 31, there's a note there. So we're going to look at some notes from these particular sources today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So this topic is pretty straightforward, but however, there is one area where there's some difference of opinion, and we're going to take a look at that today in terms of the Arkan of Hajj. What are they and how many are they? There's a slight difference of opinion concerning this. Okay, so we're reading from page 80 from the textbook, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. At the bottom half of the page it says Arkan al-Hajji, meaning the pillars, the essential pillars of pilgrimage. By essential pillars we mean what? We mean that the rukn is something which is essential to that act of worship's validity. Without it, it's invalid. And nothing can replace it. It has to be done or it's invalid. If something is from the Arkan of Hajj, for example, from the essential pillars of Hajj, and somebody didn't perform it, their Hajj is invalid. If it had a time limit and they missed that time, they just have to make Hajj again next year. Hajj is invalid. As opposed to the wajib is something that's also obligatory. But if a person didn't do it, they can make up for it by making a sacrifice, for example. Okay, so there's a difference between a rukn and a wajib. And today we're talking about the rukn, the arkan of Hajj. Those things which are essential pillars. If a person missed one of them, khalas, they have no Hajj. No matter if they did everything else and they missed that one thing, they have no Hajj. Okay, so this is really important for us to distinguish and understand the difference between what is a rukun and what is a wajib, and what is a sunnah. And all of them should be done, but each one has its ruling. Each one has its ruling. And it's important to know the difference between them and to give care to them. Yani everything that we know is from the sunnah, we should do it. But if a person missed it, yani it takes away from the perfection and the reward, but the act will still be valid. As opposed to that which is wajib, you may have to make up for it. And that which is a rukun can't be made up for. You have to do it. If it has a time limit and you miss the time, it's done. It's finished. Okay, so we're on page 80. Arkan al-Hajj. Arkan al-Hajj التي لا يتم إلا بها. يعني لا يتم الحج إلا بها بهذه الأركان أربعة. Yani the essential pillars of Hajj, which the Hajj will not be complete without them, are four. أربعةٌ وهي, and they are الإحرام والوقوف بعرفة طواف الزيادة and السعي بين الصفا والمروة. That's the opinion of the majority of scholars, that the pillars of Hajj are four. الإحرام, yani entering into the state of Ihram by intention, al-wukuf bi-arafat, standing on Arafat, tawaf al-ziyada, ziyara, or also known as tawaf al-ifada, the main tawaf of Hajj. Yani there are three tawafs in Hajj, tawaf al-qudum, tawaf al-ifada, and tawaf al-wada'. Yani the arrival tawaf when you first came there, yani qudum, when you arrived at Mecca, Tawaf al-Ifada, which is the main Tawaf of Hajj, which is from the pillars of Hajj, and Tawaf al-Wada, yani farewell Tawaf, which is yani from the Wajibat of Hajj. Naam. There are four. The first one, al-Ihram. It says, وَيَنْعَقِدُ يَنْعَقِدُ بِمُجَرَّدِ النِّيَّةِ. Yani, this pillar of Hajj, Ihram, is يعني ينعقد, it is sealed, يعني it is valid by simply making intention. يعني Ihram, the core of Ihram is not the clothing that you're wearing, the Ihram clothing, rather it is the intention. يعني the Ihram, a person enters in the state of Ihram by intention. By intention. Even though certainly there are clothing of ihram and so on, but the core of the ihram, it is the niyyah. وَدَلِيلُهُ حَدِيثُ إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And the evidence, yani the evidence that the niyyah, or that the ihram, yani it's required, yani what is required for it is the niyyah, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed actions are determined, are judged by and only by an-niyyat, intentions. Yani the core issue that it will be judged upon is an-niyyah. And of course we know from other hadith and other evidences that not only you have to have ikhlas, an-niyyah, but you also have to do it in accordance with the sharia, in accordance with the sunnah, right? وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Another evidence for the niyyah, for ihram, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Bayyinah, 98th Surah, 5th Ayat, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ هُنَفَى. يعني وَمَا أُمِرُوا, and they have not been commanded, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِسِينَ مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they have not been commanded except to worship Allah with ikhlas, making مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making the deen purely for him alone. Yani doing whatever you're doing purely for the sake of Allah alone. هُنَفَى, yani هُنَفَى means, yani حَنِيف means upright. Technically, yani in Sharia it means to be inclined towards التوحيد and away from shirk. That's the meaning of yani حَنِيف. هُنَفَى means the one who is upon توحيد and disinclined from a shirk, upright upon tawheed. So Surah Al-Bayyinah, 90th Surah, 5th Ayah. So these are two things that are used as evidence here, the ayah and also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that indeed actions are judged according to intentions. Naam? Naam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, the ism mujarrad. Naam, mujarrad means simply, yani free of anything else. Mujarrad and niyya, yani with shadda on the ra and fatha. Mujarrad, mujarradi, bi mujarradi and niyya, meaning that it is concluded, yani an aqd, it is concluded, the ihram is concluded by what? Simply having the niyya, free of anything else. The second rukun of the arkan of Hajj is al-wukufu bi-arafah. By the way, yani the first pillar of the pillars of Hajj is the niyya. And of course, there's no act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, except that there's niyya khalisa, sincere, yani intention for Allah alone. And this is critical, because too often, we as human beings might not focus or concentrate on this very important element that is a necessity for any deed to be accepted, and that is the niyyah. Sometimes we enter into active worship without consciously thinking about, reflecting upon, making sure that our heart is focused on that what I'm about to do is sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. It is a requirement for an active worship to be accepted that a person has to be doing it for the sake of Allah. And if we go into something unconsciously, without thinking about what we're doing, yani meaning autopilot, right? Sometimes people who drive, they get in their car and they start driving home. But that day they have something else to do. And they're on autopilot. They're not really thinking through the night. They're just getting in driving. People enter the prayer like that. May Allah save us from that. And without thinking about what we're doing. That's dangerous. The second pillar is al-wukuf bi'arafata. Al-wukuf bi'arafata. Yani standing at the place known as al-arafah. في جزء من يوم عرفة أو ليلة النحر. The second pillar is what? Standing at Arafah. في جزء من يوم العرفة. In any part of the day of Arafah. Any part of the day of Arafah. Or ليلة النحر. Or any part of the night of Nahr. What is the night of Nahr? The day of sacrifice, the day of slaughter, which is which day in Dhul Hijjah? What is meant here, Laylatul Nahr, means the 10th. Yeah, sure, the people can sacrifice in the day of Nahr or in Ayyam al-Tashriq. But what is intended here is Laylatul Nahr is the 10th. The night of the 10th, meaning the night before the 10th day. Okay, so what we're talking about here is we're talking about Yawm al-Arafah, meaning the day of Arafat, the 9th day, and the night that follows it, which is the night of the 10th, which is the night of An-Nahr. Because the night comes before the day. So after Maghrib, it's night of the next day. So Laylatul Nahr means the night before the 10th. Yani the night that follows immediately the day of Arafat. So any time a person goes to Arafat, whether it's during the day of Arafat, from Dhuhr until Maghrib, or during the night, after Maghrib, before Fajr. Anytime a person goes to Arafah, in that day or that night, then they have done the wukuf of Arafah. Naam.
Is it true that the day of Arafah is the only day within the year that has two nights?
I've never heard that before. I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, it sounds strange. But in any case, believe me, sometimes there are things that we don't know, so we can't deny it just because we don't know it, right? I didn't hear any of the major scholars of today say anything like that. Sheikh al-Albani explained the rites of Hajj in detail, and he talked about a lot of these things. Sheikh al-Uthaymeen explained it in detail, talked about a lot of these things. Even Sheikh ibn Baz has a book on Hajj, a big book on Hajj. Not the little ones that are circulated, but a big book on Hajj. I never heard anything like that. But it doesn't mean that it's not so. But in any case, the key is here, yani when we're attributing something to the religion, then we have to go back to the source and find out where did it come from.
I think what it means is that, like, for example, like if Arafah was to be on a Friday. So the night that comes before the day Friday is the night of Friday, right?
It's the night of Arafah.
Okay, and then on Arafah day, for one who comes late after the Sukkah session, the night that comes after the day is supposed to be the night of the Eid.
Yeah, it is the night of the Eid, yes.
So then they say that the night of the Eid also belongs to the Arafah, meaning that one who comes late can stay, that means the Arafah day.
Anyway, if they just mean that, yes, the night after standing at Arafat is connected to it. It is connected to it in terms of what? The standing at Arafat can be done in that night. But it's not the night of Arafat. It's the night of Nahr. In any case, Yani, it's, if they mean that, then perhaps that it's okay, Yani, if that's what they mean.
Okay, what is standing in Arafat?
Standing. Okay, we'll talk about it in detail, inshallah. Standing at Arafat means that a person has to go to Arafat on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah as a part of Hajj, central part of Hajj, and they have to be there for that day. They don't have to be standing the whole day. They have to be there. Okay? Yes, it is from the Sunnah to stand. But as much as you can, and supplicate to Allah, praising and glorifying Him, seeking His forgiveness, and so on like this. But it doesn't mean Wukuf Arafat, doesn't mean that it's required. In order for you to get credit for Wukuf Arafat, you have to stand the whole day. It doesn't mean that, no. Okay, let's read on a little bit more. Yani, the second pillar of the pillars of Hajj is standing at Arafat. Yani, being at the plains of Arafat, praising and glorifying Allah, worshipping Allah during that day. Any part of that day, or the night which follows it, which is the night of Nahr, the night in which sacrifice is taking place, also known for the people who not Hajj as the day of Eid, the 10th. 9th of Arafat is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Laylatul Nahr is the night of the 10th day, the night before the day of Eid or sacrifice. The proof of this is the Hadith. Hadith Abdurrahman ibn Ya'mur. Abdurrahman ibn Ya'mur. Radiallahu anhu. Qala, Ataytu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi'arafata. Faja'ahu nafarun min ahlun Najd. Yani, he said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the place of Arafat, when he was on Arafat. And a group of people came to him, Nafarun min Ahlul Najd. A small group of people came to him, فَقَالُوا And they said, Ya Rasulullah, كَيْفَ الْحَجِّ How is the Hajj? Yani, what is the Hajj? Tell us about the Hajj. فَقَالَ الْحَجُّ عَرَفَتَ الْحَجُّ عَرَفَ وَعَرَفَتُ الْحَجُّ عَرَفَتُ Yani, the Prophet said in few words, Al-Hajj, the pilgrimage is Arafah. And this, as the scholars of the Sunnah said, is like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah has divided up the Salat into two parts. And the Salat, he means here, Al-Fatiha. He doesn't mean the whole Salat, but he means Al-Fatiha, because Al-Fatiha is the core of the Salat. And Arafah is the core of Hajj. It's not everything of the Hajj, it's just Arafah. But it's the most important thing. قال الحج عرفة من جاء قبل صلاة الفجر من ليلة الجمع فقد تم حجه End of the hadith. Hajj is Arafah, whoever came before Salat al-Fajr. Meaning, on the 9th of Arafah, you have to be there. But as long as you got there before the Salat al-Fajr of the following day, the Salat al-Fajr, meaning the night after Arafah, if you got there before Salatul Fajr to Arafat, then, Yani, you have completed your Hajj. Meaning that, that's sufficient, Yani, to fulfill the pillar of, Yani, Wukuf bi Arafat. Whoever came before the Salatul Fajr, min Laylatul Jam, Yani, the Salatul Fajr that is attached to Laylatul Jam. Yani, the Prophet called this night that they attach into Arafat, he called it Laylatul Jam. And Al-Jam is one of the names of Muzdalifa. So the Laylatul Jam means the night that you spend at Muzdalifa. It's the night after you left Arafat at Maghrib, you went to Muzdalifa and you spend the night there until Fajr and you pray Fajr and then you stand, Yani, praying, supplicating, glorifying Allah until just before sunrise. And then you have to leave before sunrise. That night of Muzdalifa is what he's referring to here. Whoever came before the Salatul Fajr min Laylatul Jam, before the Salatul Fajr, that came at the end of the night of Muzdalifah, then yani this person faqad tamma hajjuhu, his hajj is completed. Akhrajahu Ahmad in his Musnad, Ashabu Sunan, yani Sunan of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and Nasa'i, wa Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, wa qala, Al-Hakim said Sahih Al-Isnad. Al-Hakim said Sahih Al-Isnad. Wa Darqutni in his Sunan and Bayhaqi in his Sunan. Yani all of these scholars narrate this hadith, and Shaykh Al-Albani said in the checking of Sunan Ibn Majah that is Sahih. So this hadith is telling us what? That Hajj is Arafah, is telling us that the most important part of the Hajj is Arafah. Indeed, it's a rukun from the arkan of Hajj. Whoever came and got to Arafah, either on that day or even during the night before Fajr, the night before, any time during the night before Fajr on the 10th, then the Hajj is complete. There's a footnote here that says Laylatul Jam, Laylatul Nahr. Laylatul Jam means Laylatul Nahr, the day, the night of the day of sacrifice, the 10th. وَجَمْعُ, the meaning of Jam, or what is Jam? It is Al-Muzdalifah. وَسُمِّيَتْ جَمْعًا لِإِجْتِمَاعَ النَّاسِ بِهَا. Why is it Muzdalifah called Jam? Why is it called Jam? Because of the gathering of the people gathering together, yani in that night at Muzdalifah. The people gathered together at Muzdalifah in that night. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Now, you stay on the ground. Just find yourself a mat or something and sleep on the ground. No, not the whole. Muzdalifah is a particular place. It's in between Arafah and Mina. Okay, so for example, Muzdalifah is a place in the desert. Yani, if you go from Mecca, right, to the next place is Mina, and then the next place is Muzdalifah, and then the last place is Arafah. So this is how you go across the desert from Mecca. From Mecca to Mina, that's the next stop, and then the third place is Muzdalifah, and then you go to Arafat. When you finish on Arafat on the 9th, you come back down to Muzdalifah and spend the night there, and then the next morning, before sunrise, you go to Mina, throwing the stones and whatever, and then you return to Mecca to perform Tawaf and Sa'i, whatever remains. Okay, so that is a desert. It's just a desert. It's just out in the desert. It's not a city. It's not a town. It's just a desert. And actually, in Muzdalifah, there are no tents even at Muzdalifah. And in Mina, there are tents. People are staying in tents. Some people, if they're rich, they might even have a building in Mina to stay in. But in Muzdalifah, everybody is sleeping on the ground. Alhamdulillah. Yani, when you are praying at Arafat, you should be facing the direction of the Qibla. Well, if you are standing in Arafat, meaning to supplicate to Allah, and Arafat, you should be facing the Qibla. Okay, so this hadith is a very important hadith because it makes us to know, yani, that Arafah is an essential pillar of Hajj. The third pillar of Hajj is Tawaf al-Ziyarah. Tawaf al-Ziyarah. Keep in mind the evidence that they gave for Arafah here, and maybe in another source we might find other evidences that support the essential nature of this pillar of Hajj that is standing at Arafah. Number three, Tawaf al-Ziyarah. Tawaf al-Ziyarah literally means the Tawaf of visiting. The Tawaf of visiting. Yani, the person who came to perform Hajj, this is an essential, yani, aspect of the Hajj. The Tawaf that you make during the actual Hajj, not before it or at the end of it when you're leaving. This is the one that's an essential core part of the Hajj called Tawaf al-Ziyarah. وَيُقَالُ لَهُ Tawaf al-Ifadah. It is also called Tawaf al-Ifadah. Al-Ifadah, yani, Ifadah means to come down, the people coming down from Arafat, yani, to Muzdalifah, to Mina, back to Mecca to perform Tawaf and Sa'i. This is Tawaf al-Ifadah. Naam.
So that's the Tawaf that is done on the day of Eid.
Yeah, preferably, if you can. It should be done on the day of Eid. Naam. On the day... Naam. It's the Tawaf that should be done on the day following Arafah. Yani, if you are able. Otherwise, if you make it the next day or the next day or the next day, it's permissible. But it's better if a person is able to make it in, yani, order. After going to Mina and throwing the stones, going to Mecca and performing Tawaf and Sa'i. Depending on what kind of Hajj you're performing, Tawaf, and if you're performing Hajj tamattu, or Hajj Qiran, or Hajj Ifrad. Depending on what type of Hajj you're performing, it may be a little bit different. Okay, but for Tawaf Tamattu, you have to make this. I mean, for Hajj Tamattu, you have to make this Tawaf. Qiran, where you're joining, yani Hajj and Umrah in one Ihram, is a little bit different. Okay, I mean, you have to make it, but you only have to make it once. You don't have to make it twice. Whereas the people making Tamattu, they're going to make Tawaf in the Umrah, then they get out of Ihram, and they're going to make Tawaf again when they enter for Hajj, right? So that's a little different than Qiran. Now, seven times, seven circuits around the Kaaba.
So, there's different tawaf. That's how you
do it. I'm saying that there's different types of tawaf, meaning there's different occasions for performing tawaf. When you first arrived in Mecca, when you came from Arafah, and before you leave Mecca, final tawaf, you have to make tawaf al-wada. That's wajib. The person, before they leave Mecca, last thing they should do is tawaf al-wada. Yani the farewell tawaf. Okay, those tawafs are performed essentially the same, seven circuits around the Kaaba, except that the tawaf al-ifada, yani as opposed to the tawaf of wada, tawaf al-wada, person has finished Hajj already. Hajj is finished, maybe they're staying in Mecca for a little while, and before they leave, they're going to make tawaf al-wada. That means they're going to be in their normal clothing, everything. It's just, and they're just walking around like a regular person, Hajj is already finished, but before they leave, it's obligatory to make tawaf al-wada. So, but otherwise, there's seven circuits. And in the first tawaf, when you arrive in Mecca, you have to do ramal. Yani, you have to do yani short, quick steps. Yani, almost like you are running, almost. Like running. Not exactly running, but something like that. Ramal. Maybe we'll talk about it, inshallah. Jogging, maybe. Closer to that. Okay, this tawaf al-ziyara, or tawaf al-ifada, it's proof here that they gave one proof. They gave لقوله تعالى وَلْيَتَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ يعني in Surah Al-Hajj 22nd Surah 29th Ayat Allah says and it is وَلْيَتَّوَّفُوا يعني the lam here is lam al-amr it means this is a command and that's why يَتَّوَّفُوا doesn't have the noon on the end of it the noon is deleted the sign that is majzoom. So you must, yani, or they must, make tawaf of the house, the ancient house. Al-Bayt al-Atiq. Everyone must make tawaf. This is the proof of what? Of the obligatory nature of tawaf al-ifada. And it is said, yani, according to the majority of scholars, that it's a rukun of the Hajj. It's a rukun. Yani of the Hajj, whoever didn't perform it, they don't have Hajj. And as we read through Al-Wajiz, we'll see some other evidence for the proof that Tawaf Al-Ifada is an essential pillar of Hajj. That's a little bit more clear than just this ayat. I mean, this ayat is one of the clear proofs, but there are other proofs that prove that it's an essential pillar. Without it, a person doesn't have Hajj, Tawaf Al-Ifada. Al-Atiq, the ancient house. The ancient house, Al-Bayt Al-Atiq, the Kaaba. Okay, so the fourth of the pillars of Hajj, is As-Sa'yu, Bayna As-Safa and Al-Marwata. Yani, As-Sa'y means, yani, exerting oneself. Okay, so like running or walking fast between Safa and Marwa. The full description of it is not exactly running, but it's yani walking between Safa and Marwa, and there's a certain portion of the track between Safa and Marwa where a person should run, if they can. It's crowded, so it's not possible necessarily to really run, but as best you can. Now, As-Sa'yu, exerting oneself and going between the two mountains of Safa and Marwa, these are two mountains beside the Kaaba. The proof for As-Sa'yu is the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with us. She said, "Tafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa tafa al-muslimuna ma'ahu." Yani the Messenger of Allah performed the tawaf. Here the meaning of tafa is in reference to sa'i. What is meant by tafa here? It means going back between, forth between the mountains of Safa and Marwa. The meaning of tafa here is not around the Kaaba. But the meaning of tafa here, as we see in the end of the hadith, is going between Safa and Marwa. So she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the tawaf, meaning he went between Safa and Marwa. And the Muslims also did it with him. And in the brackets it says, Ta'ani, she means by Tafa, As-Sa'i, Bayna Safar wal-Marwa. She means As-Sa'i between Safar and Marwa, Fakanat Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ did it, the people did it with him, and therefore it was established as his way. Here I want to note that the meaning of Sunnah here, we know that it has many meanings, right? Yes. Sunnah doesn't mean here the opposite of Fard. So it became Sunnah, yani something that you can do that's good to do. No, it became Sunnah meaning Tariqah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It became established as his way. Then she said, "Fala amri ma atamma Allahu hajja man lam yatuf bayna as-Safa wal-Marwa." Rawahu Muslim. Fala amri, that's an oath, swearing. She saying, "I am swearing by Allah, ma atamma Allah. Allah has not completed or perfected the Hajj of the one who didn't yatuf bayna Safar wa Marwa, who didn't, yani, go between Safar wa Marwa." Here in the end of the hadith, it became clear, "Man lam yatuf bayna Safar wa Marwa." It's clear that she meant by Tafa in the beginning of the hadith. She means Tafa bayna Safar wa Marwa. It became clear in this part of the hadith, right? So this hadith is what reported by Imam Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back and forth between Safar and Marwa. The Muslims did it with him. It became established as his way. And Aisha says, "I swear by Allah that Allah did not complete the Hajj of anyone who didn't perform this going between Safar and Marwa." It's clear? Well, it's an oath, yeah. And who else? I mean, we only swear by Allah. Yani. She's making an oath. La'amri is a form of oath in Arabic. It's an oath, like you're swearing. So she's swearing what? That what she's about to say is a fact. I'm swearing that the Hajj of a person who doesn't go between Safar and Marwa is not going to be completed. It's not going to be complete. Okay, we're going to look at another view of these pillars of Hajj and maybe some other evidences that are not mentioned in our book. Okay, I'm reading from Al-Awajiz, Fi Fiqh Sunnah wal Kitab al-Aziz, page 252. 252, like almost halfway down the page, it says Arkan al-Hajj, the pillars of Hajj. The pillars of Hajj. Number one, and niyyah. In the textbook for the class, what we had is number one? Al-Ihram. But then they said what? The Ihram is not concluded except by? And niyyah. So here they said from the pillars of Hajj, and niyyah. Naam, that you have to have niyyah to enter into the state of Ihram for the performance of Hajj. And this, what's the proof of the niyyah? The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we mentioned already, from Surah Al-Bayyinah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ, that they have not been commanded except to worship Allah, making the deen, every act of worship that they do, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and being upright upon a tawheed and away from shirk, yani not sharing that worship with anyone other than Allah. Second evidence they gave, evidence that we already had, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that indeed actions are yani determined or judged by their intentions. The second pillar is Wukuf Arafat. Here they brought a different evidence that we read already about the standing at Arafat. The second pillar of the Hajj, Al-Wukuf Bi-Arafat, لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Al-Hajj Arafat. Okay, we had that hadith, right, already. But, and as I mentioned, the hadith is mentioned in the Sunan Al-Ahmad and other books. Shaykh Al-Albani in Sahih, Sunan Ibn Majah said that this hadith is Sahih. What is this hadith here? Is clearly indicating the importance of Arafah, Al-Hajj Arafah. The next hadith is a little bit more clear of the importance, even more clear of the importance of standing at Arafah. This hadith wasn't mentioned previously, the hadith of Urwa, At-Ta'i, radiallahu anhu. He said, Ataytu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bil-muzdalifa, hina kharaja ila salat. I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the place known as Muzdalifah, at the time when he came out for the prayer. Which prayer? Fajr prayer. Fajr prayer. I came at the time when the Prophet came out for Fajr prayer, yani the end of the night. I came to him at Muzdalifah. He already went to Arafat, but he was late. he got to Muzdalifah and the Prophet coming out for Fajr prayer. Alright, this is important to understand how this hadith is a proof for what we're talking about here. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ I said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنِّي جِئْتُ مِنْ جَبَلَيْ طَيِّ I came from the two mountains of طَيِّ أَكْلَلْتُ رَاحِلَتِي وَأَتَعَبْتُ نَفْسِي يعني I have worn my riding animal out and I have worn myself out يعني in this trip, journey that I just took and what I just went through. وَاللَّهِ مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ جَبَلٍ إِلَّا وَقَفْتُ عَلَيْهِ I didn't leave any mountain except that I stood upon it. Yani the people had left Arafat when he got there. When he got to Muzdalifah, it's Fajr time. He was at Arafat by himself. He doesn't know where to stand in Arafat. So he did what? Every place he saw, he stopped and stood there. Yani, he's so diligent, I can't miss this. I gotta get this. He said, مَا تَرَكْتُ جَبَلًا I didn't leave any mountain except that I stood upon it. He said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَهَلِّي مِنْ حَجِّ Is there any hajj for me? SubhanAllah. Yani, he's asking the Prophet, did I make it? Yani, did I get it or what? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ شَاهِدَ صَلَاتَنَا هَذِهِ مَنْ شَاهِدَ صَلَاتَنَا هَذِهِ Whoever was present for this salat of ours, which salat? Salatul Fajr Muzdalifah. Salatul Fajr Muzdalifah. Whoever was present for this salat of ours. وَوَقَفَ مَعْنَا حَتَّى نَدْفَى And then he stayed with us, standing here in Muzdalifah, until we left. When did we leave? After the light in the sky became bright, just before sunrise. وَقَدْ وَقَفَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ بِعَرَفَى And he had stood before that, before he got here, at Arafah, Laylan or Naharan. Whether during the night of Arafah, the day of Arafah or the night of Arafah. Whether during the day or the night. فَقَدْ تَمَّ حَجُّهُ وَقَضَى نَفَثَهُ Then this person, he has completed his hajj and he has fulfilled yani, the obligations that are upon him. Yani nafatha, some of the scholars said yani, that its literal meaning is removal of dirt, removal of filth, cutting the nails, trimming the hairs and things like that, that a person does after they completed the rites of hajj that are necessary and they got out of the state of ihram, then they can remove those things. Other scholars said that the meaning of nafatha, it means a nusuk, yani the rites of hajj. And both of them are related to one another. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever witnessed with us this prayer, the Fajr prayer at Muzdalifah, in the morning of Fajr, and they stood with us here until we left, and they had stood before that on Arafat, whether night or day, yani during the daytime of Arafat or even after Maghrib, yani before Fajr, then the Hajj is complete. This hadith is a clear proof of the necessity of standing at Arafat, first and foremost. But not only that, but first and foremost, it's a proof of what? That you have to stand at Arafat, whether during the day of Arafat or the night of Muzdalifah. You have to have stood at Arafat sometime, but it's also a proof of what? That you also had to have performed the Fajr prayer with us here at Muzdalifah. Which is the point we're going to come to next. Yani, based on this hadith, some scholars said, this hadith is a proof that standing at Arafat is a rukun of Hajj. And likewise, spending the night at Muzdalifah and praying the Fajr prayer is also a rukun of Hajj. Because the Prophet mentioned them equally. One of my teachers, Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, may Allah have mercy upon him. And he was one of the great scholars of Medina in this era. Even though he wasn't well known, yani to many people. But he traveled around the world, he was well known for da'wah, he went to Africa and Asia and every place and called the people to tawheed. And was extremely effective in bringing people around to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the head of the College of Hadith in Islamic University of Medina before he retired from that. And then he only taught in the Prophet's masjid. Naam, Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami. What you want to say? Naam, he's from Ethiopia. Originally he's from Ethiopia. As a student of knowledge he traveled and he ended up in Mecca. And then, yani, after studying in Saudi Arabia, he ended up in Medina, and he became one of the foremost scholars of the people of Sunnah in Saudi Arabia. one of the foremost scholars. Naam. He's Ethiopian.
What's his name?
His name is Muhammad Aman al-Jami'.
Not dead.
No, he passed away. May Allah have mercy upon him. But he was one of the great scholars of our time, for sure. And he was respected by all the scholars in Saudi Arabia. Foremost of them, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, all of the scholars, they had high respect for him. Very high respect for him. And all of them, they said it openly. There's no question about it. Anyway, he used to tell us, when he taught in Hajj, every year in the time of pilgrimage, he used to teach the rites of Hajj in the Prophet's Masjid, and people came from all over the world. And he used to make a point that stuck in my mind all the time. He used to say, the importance of spending the night at Muzdalifah. If anybody been to Hajj, you will know that many people, maybe half of the people or more than that, they're leaving from Muzdalifah, just stopping for a few hours and then going on. And they don't spend the night in Muzdalifah. At most, they might stay until half of the night and leave, which they don't have a right to do that either, unless they're women or sick or people like this. And they are not spending that. He used to emphasize to the people who came for Hajj when they were there that you have to spend the night in Muzdalifah. This is a wajib of the wajibat of Hajj. He said, rather, some scholars say it's a rukn. Yani, some scholars say it's a rukn that if you didn't spend the night in Muzdalifah, you don't have any Hajj. He used to say that. I'm talking about Muzdalifah. When you came back from Arafat, that spending the entire night at Muzdalifah and praying the Fajr prayer at Muzdalifah, he said, some scholars say it is a rukn. His opinion was that it's a wajib. But he said, some scholars even went to the extent of saying it's a rukn, and that's what we have here in this book here. We have them saying, Al-Mabit bi Muzdalifah hatta matla al-Fajr. Staying, spending the night in Muzdalifah until the break of dawn. Until the break of dawn. What is the proof that they said? You notice that when we read from our textbook, we mentioned only four pillars. Yani ihram wa niyyah, al-wukuf bi'arafah, tawaf, and sa'i. Naam, that's what we mentioned. But here, they have mentioned a fifth. They mention it as number three, al-mabit bi-muzdalifah. Yani staying, spending the night in Muzdalifah until the break of dawn, was Salatul Fajr biha, and performing the Salatul Fajr, and the proof of it is the saying of Urwa in the previous hadith that was mentioned. Whoever witnesses this prayer of ours, Salatuna hadha, whoever witnesses this prayer of ours, waqafa ma'ana hatta nadfa, and stays here at Muzdalifah until we leave before the rising of the sun, waqad waqafa qabla dhalik bi arafah laylan aw naharan, and they stood on Arafah before that, either during the night or the day, faqad tamma hajjuhu wa qada tafathahu. This is the part of the hadith, yani man shahida salatana hadhihi wa waqafa ma'ana hatta nadfa, that they use as a proof to say that this is an essential pillar of Hajj, because the Prophet said, whoever witnessed this prayer with us and stayed here with us until we left and have stood at Arafat before that, the Hajj is complete. Meaning this is an essential aspect of the completion of Hajj, the standing at Arafat day or night, and the spending the night at Muzdalifah and praying Fajr at Muzdalifah. That's what they use as a proof, even though the majority of the scholars do not agree that it is a rukn, but rather they said that it is a wajib. They said that it is a wajib. That's the opinion of the majority. That's the opinion of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, which we'll read any shortly. Let me just go on to complete what they said here as the fourth and fifth pillar, this being the third, right, the extra one. We said before that there are four pillars of Hajj, and this would be making it five, right? So the fourth pillar after spending the night at Muzdalifah is Tawaf al-Ifada, which we mentioned previously. Yani the Tawaf, the main Tawaf of Hajj, also known as Tawaf al-Ziyara. And this is based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلْيَتَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَقِيقِ. Then they must, yani, make Tawaf around the ancient house. Also the Hadith, they gave another proof here for the Tawaf, the Hadith of Aisha that wasn't mentioned before. رضي الله عنها, she said, حاضت صفية بنت حيي. يعني صفية بنت حيي رضي الله عنها, she had her menses. بعدما أفاضت, after she had came from عرفات, قالت, she, that is Aisha who's narrating the hadith, said, ذكرت ذلك لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I mentioned this to the Messenger of Allah, that صفية, يعني who was صفية بنت حيي? One of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Aisha mentions that Safiya came in her menses. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَحَابِسْتُنَا here, Yani has her coming on her menses cause us to be held up here, cause us to be stuck here, we can't move on. قلت يا رسول الله, Aisha said to him, O Messenger of Allah, إنها قد أفاضت وطافت بالبيت ثم حاضت بعد الإفاضة. Yani she, Safiya, she had already come down from Arafat and she had performed the tawaf of the house, the tawaf ifada. And then her menses came after al-ifada, yani after coming from Arafat and performing tawaf al-ifada. The Prophet ﷺ then said, فَلْتَنْفِرْ فَلْتَنْفِرْ, in another narration, فَلَا إِذَنْ, yani meaning, then go on. Yani meaning, we are not going to be stuck here. What is understood from this hadith? The words of this hadith, فَدَلَّ قَوْلُهُ أَحَابِسَتْ حَابِسْتُهَا أَحَابِسْتُنَا نَحِيَ, yani this wording in the hadith, have we been held up here because of this by her? This indicates that the tawaf that she did perform, that the Prophet didn't know that she had performed, لَبُدَّ مِنْهُ, that is an essential tawaf of hajj, essential pillar of hajj, وَأَنُّهُ حَابِسٌ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ بِهِ, and it will hold up the person who hasn't performed it. Meaning, if a woman came on her menses and she hadn't performed tawaf al-ifada, she cannot leave. Except that she performed tawaf al-ifada after finishing from her menses and being clean and then making tawaf al-ifada. Otherwise, the hajj is invalid. The hajj is invalid. This hadith is a proof. Does the Prophet say what? Has she caused us to be held up here? Now we can't leave and go back to Medina? Because we have to wait for her to finish from her menses and then yani perform tawaf al-ifada. He thought, has she kept made us to be stuck here? And then Aisha said, no. She came from Arafat, she made tawaf al-ifada, and then the menses came. The Prophet said, فَلْتَنْفِرْ إِذَنْ, then let's go. Let's go. We can leave. We are not stuck. This is the extra proof concerning what? The proof of the necessity, the essential nature of tawaf al-ifada. The last matter, the fifth of them here, because we have the extra matter, is sa'i bayna safa wa marwa, yani the going back between safa and back and forth between safa and marwa, and the proof of this is sa'yihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first proof is that he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did it, and the second proof is qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is'au fa inna Allah kataba alaykum as-sa'i, yani make sa'i, perform this sa'i going back between safa and marwa, for indeed Allah has kataba alaykum, yani farada alaykum as-sa'i, yani Allah has made it obligatory upon you. Yeah. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed and Hakim, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said that it's sahih in Irwa al-Galil. Okay, actually our time is up right now, and I wanted to go back to the issue of the difference of opinion about the one matter, and that is what's the issue about the ikhtilaf that I wanted to go back to? Muzdalifah. The Muzdalifah is a rukun, or it is not a rukun. Okay? Is Muzdalifah a rukun, or it's not a rukun? There's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. It seems as though the majority of the scholars have the view that spending the night in Muzdalifah is a wajib, from the wajibat of hajj. It is not a rukun. However, there are some scholars who held that it is, and the proof that they use for it is the same hadith that's used as a proof that standing at Arafat is a rukun of hajj. Same hadith, the Prophet said, whoever has done this and whoever has done that, then the hajj is complete. As though they are both equal, and that's the proof for those who say that it is a rukun. Tayyib. I don't know if we can finish quickly, because Sheikh Salih Fawzan's notes are lengthy. So maybe we can stop here, because his notes are lengthy, a few pages. And also what Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, and what's the time of this class is until what time? Until 5:45? Oh, so we have some time. Okay. This time got me thrown off now. By the way, yeah, we have a few minutes. Okay, so let's try to complete it then. The times for the prayer are getting earlier and earlier, right? And so when the time for the Iqamah in this masjid is getting earlier, then that means the classes are going to start earlier, right? So the Book 1 class, right now we are praying Yani Dhuhr at 1:15. So we're starting, yani, close after that as possible. But maybe next week, they may be changing the time of the comma to 1 o'clock. That means that the book 1 class is going to start 15 minutes earlier. It means that the book 2 class is also going to start 15 minutes earlier and so on like this. So please pay attention to the time changes. Meaning that when he tells me to change the time of the comma, I'm going to send a note out to let us know that the time for the comma has changed. That means that the time for the classes are going to be modified. And this is ongoing because in this season of the year, the prayer time is changing rapidly all the time. So I'm just saying, I'm just alerting you to that. Pay attention to the time and the changes in the time of the prayers and the time of the Iqamah, which is going to force us to change the time for the classes. And then daylight savings time is coming after that. That's a whole hour difference. That's another one. Please pay attention to that. Okay, quickly now. Huh? The beginning class is starting at 12 o'clock. So far we're okay with that class. It's the classes that come after Dhuhr that's the problem. Because the Iqamah for Dhuhr, when that time changes, it forces us to change the time of the classes. Okay, let's just quickly look at what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says in Fiqh Al-Ibadat. I'm going to start on page 328, Arkan Al-Umrah, and I'm just going to connect it to the Arkan of Hajj because they're related. The question is on page 328, Fiqh Al-Ibadat, Arkan Al-Umrah. The question 224, they said, Fadilatul Shaykh, what are the Arkan of Umrah? يعني حيث إنها في التمتو تسبق الحج. Yani, in reference to what? The person is performing to Hajj Tamattu, that means they're performing Umrah in one Ihram, then getting out of Ihram and getting into Ihram again on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah for Hajj. So they already made Umrah before Hajj. So what are then the pillars of Umrah in light of that? The Shaykh said, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, Fiqh Al-Ibadat, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah. The answer, he said, I started on page 328, I'm now on page 329, top of the page. His answer, 329, he said, the scholars say, يَقُولُ الْعُلَمَاء, that the arkan of Umrah are three. The arkan of Umrah are three. We said the arkan of Hajj are how many?
Four.
And some scholars said?
Five.
Arkan of Umrah are three. What are they?
Al-Ihram,
Al-Tawaf, Al-Ziyarah, and Sai, Bayna Safra. Naam, they have to be because those are the most important things, right? What's left out here from the Wukuf bi'Arafah? The Arkan of Umrah 3. Al-Ihram, entering the intention, entering the state of Ihram. Tawaf, going around the Kaaba. Sai, going between Safra and Marwa. Wa inna wajibataha, and the wajibat, or inna wajibatiha, its obligatory duties are only two for Umrah, and they are Al-Ihram, من الميقات. الإحرام is from the arkan of Hajj, but إحرام from the ميقات is a wajib. You understand the difference? And he's saying that one of the wajib of Umrah is إحرام from the ميقات. يعني entering إحرام is a pillar of Hajj and Umrah, but entering إحرام from the ميقات is wajib. Which means that if a person entered إحرام after they passed the ميقات, they either have to go back and start all over again, or they have to make a sacrifice. Because entering from the miqat is wajib. It's not a rukn. It's wajib. So even if they just went on, then the hajj is still valid, or the umrah is still valid, but they have to make a sacrifice because they missed a wajib. I just want you to understand the difference between ihram being a rukn and ihram from the miqat being a wajib. Now.
So you said they have to make a sacrifice. That's for the person who is doing the umrah?
The umrah, naam, or the person who's doing hajj.
He's making all the umrah and forgets to do the ihram from the miqat. So in that case, the person has to offer the sacrifice?
They have to either go back. If it's finished already, they have to make a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. They have to make a sacrifice.
Even for umrah, or just for hajj?
Is umrah obligatory?
No.
Listen, the umrah, according to the majority of scholars and the strongest opinion, is that umrah is obligatory. And this, here the Shaykh is saying, in his opinion, this is fiqh, right? He's saying that the rukn, the arkan of Umrah is making, yani, ihram from the miqat. Okay, we're going to go into a little bit more detail about this, right? In terms of, yani, what you have to do, the Shaykh talks about that in a question. We'll come to it, okay? In detail, what he said about this. So it'll be more clear. The wajibat are two, making ihram from the miqat. One, that's one. The second one is halq aw taqsir. Yani shaving the hair from the head only, shaving the hair or cutting it short. That is also a wajib from the wajibat of Umrah. And everything other than that, he said, is sunan. Okay, that's umrah. Now let's go to hajj, and then whoever missed one will come to that, okay? Hajj, arkan al-hajj, question number 225, page 329, Fadilat al-Shaykh, ma hi arkan al-hajj? What are the essential pillars of pilgrimage? The answer, arkan al-hajj, yaqulu al-ulama innaha arba'a. Here the Shaykh, he shows the opinion of the majority, the pillars of hajj are four, not five. That's his view. Al-ihram, al-wukuf bi-arafah, al-tawaf wa-sa'i. Those are what we know. Yani entering the state of ihram by intention, standing at Arafah during the day or the night, to walk around the Kaaba and sigh between Safar and Marwa. Now to your question, Ya Ibrahim, the title, the next title is Hukm al-Ikhlal bishay min arkan al-Hajj aw al-Umrah. What is the ruling concerning the person who violated, who transgressed, who missed something from the arkan of Hajj or Umrah? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, this question number 226, Fadilat al-Shaykh, ma hukm al-ikhlal bi shay'in min hadhihi al-arkan? What is the ruling concerning somebody who violated any of these pillars of what? Of Hajj or Umrah? Al-Jawab, al-ikhlal bi shay'in min hadhihi al-arkan, la yatimu al-nusq illa bihi. Yani, the ikhlal, the violation of anything from these essential pillars, لا يتم النسخ إلا به. Then that the right of Hajj or Umrah is not completed and perfect except with it. فمن لم يطف بالعمرة مثلا, for example, فإنه يبقى على إحرامه حتى يطوف. يعني whoever, for example, whoever didn't make the tawaf for Umrah, then he has to remain in his ihram until he makes it, because it's essential. You can't do without it. You have to do it. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْعَى, and whoever didn't make sa'i, يَبْقَى عَلَى إِحْرَامِهِ حَتَّى يَسْعَى, then he has to stay in ihram until he makes that sa'i. Then the Shaykh says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَكُولُ فِي الْحَجِ. We say the same thing about hajj. Yani the same thing about umrah is the same thing about hajj. The rukn is the rukn. You have to do it. It's essential. If you didn't do it, then it became invalid. We're coming a little bit. That completed answer. نقول في الحج كذلك, the same thing we say in حج, من لم يأتي بأركانه فإنه لا يصح حجه, who didn't fulfill the rukns of حج like we said about Umrah, then his حج is not valid. فمن لم يقف بعرفة, whoever didn't stand in عرفات حتى طلع الفجر يوم النهر, he didn't stand in عرفات until, yani, meaning that up until that point he hadn't stood, and the sun, the dawn broke on the day of Nahr, yani the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. He didn't reach Arafat, and the dawn broke. He missed it. فَقَدْ فَاتَهُ الْحَجِّ. He missed the Hajj, خلاص. فَلَا يَصِحُّ حَجُّهُ. His Hajj is not valid. لَكِنَّهُ يَتَحَلَّلُ بِعُمْرَةٍ. But he can get out of Ihram by performing Umrah. He missed Arafat, but he can just do whatever is necessary for Umrah. He can get out of Ihram by performing Umrah. فَيَطُوفُ وَيَسْعَى وَيُقَصِّرْ أَوْ يَحْلِكْ وَيَنْصَرِفْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. So that person will make tawaf, he'll make sa'i, and without Arafah, he missed Arafah. He'll make tawaf, make sa'i, and then he will cut or shave his hair, وَيَنْصَرِفْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, and then he will go away, yani back to his family. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْعَامَ الْمُقْبِلْ أَتَى بِالْحَجِّ. So when the next year came, he has to come and perform the Hajj all over again. And the next page he says, 320, finishing the answer, وَأَمَّا التَّوَافُ وَالسَّعِي إِذَا فَاتَهُ فِي الْحَجِّ. As far as the tawaf and sa'i, if a person missed it in Hajj, if a person missed tawaf or sa'i, فَإِنَّهُ فَإِذَا فَاتَهُ أَمَّا التَّوَافُ وَالسَّعِي إِذَا فَاتَهُ فِي الْحَجِّ فَإِنَّهُ يَقْضِيهِ. Unlike Arafat, which has a specific time, the day and the night of Arafah and the night of Muzdalifah. If a person missed tawaf or sa'i in Hajj, then he has to make it up. And he has to go back and do it.
He has to put
the Quran
back.
He has to go back and do it. لِأَنَّهُ لَا آخِرَ لِوَقْتِهِ. Because it doesn't have an ending for its time. Yani if he didn't do it on the day, on the 10th, on the 11th, or the 12th, he has to just go back and do it. لَكِنْ لَا يُؤَخِّرُهُ عَنْ شَهْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. But he should not delay it beyond the month of Dhul Hijjah except with an excuse. Yani excuse shar'i, a legal excuse. Meaning that even though there's no time limit on it, it should be done in the month of Dhul Hijjah, unless a person has a legal excuse, yani that they have no, yani that excuse them from it, then they still have to make it, and they can make it whenever they are able to make it. Okay, I just want to read, yani, one more point. I don't know.
Yeah.
We have time. Okay. I want to come back to Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, but I want to just stick on the point of the ikhtilaf concerning what? The ikhtilaf concerning the naam. Naam. And the next point that I want to come back to is the wajibat of Hajj, and what happens the rukn concerning violating the wajibat of Hajj. I want to come back to it, but I just want to complete the topic, yani, related to the Muzdalifa, whether or not this is something obligatory or not. I just want to read a brief note here from Shaykh al-Albani, Manasik al-Hajj wal-Umrah, fi Kitabi wa-Sunnah, wa Athar al-Salaf. Yani, he says on page 30, Al-Ifadha min Arafat, he talks about coming down from Arafat to Muzdalifa, and then he says, point number 80, Salatul Fajr fi Muzdalifa. This is the issue about whether or not spending the night at Muzdalifa and praying the Fajr prayer at Muzdalifa, is it a rukn or is it a wajib? Shaykh al-Albani says, Salatul Fajr fi Muzdalifa, number 80, وَلَا بُدَّ مِن سَلَاتُ الْفَجْرِ فِي الْمُزْدَلِفَةِ لِجَمِيعَ الْحُجَّاجِ إِلَّا الضَّعِفَ وَالنِّسَاءِ فَإِنَّهُ يَجُوزُ لَهُمْ لِلنِّسَاءِ, and the people who are unable, the weak, فَإِنَّهُ يَجُوزُ لَهُمْ أَن يَنْطَلِقُوا مِنْهَا بَعْدَ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلِ خَشْيَةً حَطَمَةَ النَّاسِ. يعني شيخ الألباني said, وَلَا بُدَّ مِن صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ فِي مُزْدَلِفَةِ. Yani, it is an absolute necessity to perform the Salatul Fajr in Muzdalifa for all of the pilgrims, except at Ad-Da'ifa, yani the Du'afa, yani the weak people, when Nisa, and the women, yani who are unable to stay. فَإِنَّهُ, because it is permissible for them to leave from Muzdalifa after midnight. Rather, in the hadith, it became clear it means after the setting of the moon, which is beyond midnight. Meaning that there are some people who are excused to leave early from Muzdalifa. But here, the shaykh is saying what? لَبُدَّ مِن صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ means that a person in Muzdalifa, means a person has to spend the night at Muzdalifa. Otherwise, how are you going to pray Fajr at Muzdalifa? You're not going to go يعني, to Mina and then come back to Muzdalifa for Fajr. That means he's saying, لَبُدَّ مِن صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ means that staying in Muzdalifa in the night, yani of the night of the 10th, yani is a necessity. Is it wajib or rukn? What do we understand from the shaykh here? لَبُدَّ. So that is really, the shaykh, he used English here, they left it open. لَبُدَّ, it's a necessity. لَبُدَّ means there's no escape, you can't get out. You can't get out. It could be a wajib, it could be a rukn. So the shaykh, he knows the opinion of those scholars who said that it's a rukn, and those who said that it's wajib, and it seems as though he left it open. Yani, that one of those opinions are right. Both of them are very strong. So the shaykh, he said, labudda, meaning there's no escape from it, you have to do it. Our problem here is it really a wajib or is it a rukn? It seems as though the shaykh, he didn't, in this particular writing, he didn't make it clear. And then he said, 81, then he comes to Mashar al-Haram, that is Muzdalifa, the place in Muzdalifa, it's a mountain in Muzdalifa, or any place in Muzdalifa, and he should go to that mountain and climb upon it, and face the Qibla, and praise Allah, and glorify Him, and say that He is the greatest, and declare His unity, and supplicate to Him, and he should continue to do so, حَتَّى يُصْفِرْ جِدًّا, until the light becomes very bright in the sky, yani before sunrise, until the light becomes very bright in the sky, and then he says you have to leave, any before sunrise, because the Prophet ﷺ opposed the way of the pagans. They used to never leave from Muzdalifa until the sun had risen. And the Prophet said, we will oppose them and we will leave before sunrise. In any case, Shaykh al-Bani here, his view appears to be, wallahu alam, that it is yani at least wajib if it's not an essential pillar. Naam. So shall we go back now and read what Shaykh al-Taymin said concerning the wajibat of Hajj. That's our topic for next week in reality, but only because Ibrahim is pressing the issue, we're going to read it today. You're going to leave it? Arkan al-Hajj. You're going to leave it? Is it okay to leave it and wait till next week? It's too late? Okay, who says we wait for next week, inshallah? Only two people. Everybody else wants to. Okay, quickly, inshallah. We'll just do it quickly. Page 329, Arkan al-Hajj. The question is 225, Fadilat al-Shaykh. What are the Arkan of Hajj? Okay, we read that already. Arkan of Hajj, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. Next page. Page 330. Question number 227, Wajibat al-Hajj. What are the Wajibat of Hajj? The Shaykh says, the Wajibat of Hajj, they are that a person has to be in Ihram from the Miqat. From the Miqat. Okay, Ihram is a Rukun, but being the Ihram from the Miqat. Number two, that they have to stand at Arafat up until Maghrib. Standing at Arafat is a Rukun, but staying there up until Maghrib is Wajib. Okay, you know that there's a difference, right? So it's important here to pay attention to this. Number three, Shaykh says, وَأَنْ يَبِيتُ بِالْمُزْدَلِفَةِ. That staying, spending the night at Muzdalifah is a Wajib, not a Rukun. That's his opinion. Number four, وَأَنْ يَبِيتُ بِمِنَى لَيْلَتَيْنِ بَعْدَ الْعِيدِ. And that you also spend at Mina, spend the night at Mina for two nights after the Eid. That means after the 10th, the 11th and 12th. That's a Wajib. As far as the 13th, you can leave. As long as you leave before Maghrib on the 12th. وَأَنْ يَرْمِ الْجَمَرَاتِ. And also that you throw the stones at the pillars. That's a Wajib. وَأَنْ يَتُوفُ لِلْوَدَاءِ. And he's saying that the tawaf al-wada'a, the farewell tawaf, is also a wajib. Even though the hajj is completed, it's wajib to do so. Now we came to Ibrahim's question, حُكْمَ الْإِخْلَالِ. What is the ruling concerning somebody who violated anything of the wajibat of hajj or umrah? Wajibat al-hajj or umrah? Su'al, question number 228, page 320. For the Fadilatul Shaykh, مَا حُكْمَ الْإِخْلَالِ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتِ الْحَجِ الْعُمْرَةِ. What is the ruling, the action, concerning violating anything from the obligatory duties of Hajj or Umrah? Al-Jawab al-Ikhlal bishayin minha. Yani violating anything from those wajibat of Hajj or Umrah. And kan al-insan muta'ammidan. If a person did it intentionally, fa'alayhi al-ithm wal-fidya. Then there's a sin against him, and also he has to do the fidya. Yani the sacrifice. Kama qala ahlul ilm. Shatun yadbahuha wa yufarriquha fi Mecca. What is this fidya? The scholars say it is a shat, yani a lamb, a goat, sheep, like small animal that the person has to slaughter and distribute it in Mecca. When kana ghayr muta'ammidan. But if the person didn't do it intentionally, fala ithm alayhi, then there's no sin against him. Lakin alayhi al fidya. Lakin alayhi al fidya. Yadbahuha fi Mecca. He has to sacrifice it in Mecca, وَيُوَزِّعُهَا عَلَى الْفُقَرَىٰ, and distribute it to the poor people in Mecca. لِأَنَّهُ تَرْكَ وَاجِبًا لَهُ بَدَلٌ. Because he left a wajib that has a substitute, the sacrifice. فَلَمَّا تَعَذَّرَ الْعَصَرُ. So when he became unable to do the original thing that he was required to do, تَعَيَّنَ الْبَدَلُ, then it became necessary for him to do the substitute. هَذَا هُوَ قَوْلُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِي مَنْ تَرَكَ وَاجِبًا. This is the view of the scholars, people of knowledge, concerning the one who left off an obligatory duty. Anna alayhi fidya, that he is upon him is the fidya. Yadbahuha fi Mecca, has to be sacrificed in Mecca. Wa yuwazziha al fuqara, and distributed to the poor. Good. Okay, we're going to stop here. If you have a question, go ahead, Abdul Hadi. By the way, I didn't read the commentary of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. We'll read it next time because I don't want to be overbearing. But your question.
See, somebody killed an animal with a ram, and if they did it not intentionally, it's nothing with it. But I think I've heard someone say that in the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the Sahaba told something and then killed some animal and then they died and then they gave their own to do some sacrifice.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And maybe if we go back and try to find it, it might be a little more clear. Perhaps it means a person who was in the state of Ihram. Maybe. If the person was in a state of ihram, it's not permissible to kill land animals, right? So maybe if somebody killed a land animal by accident in ihram, I don't know about out of ihram. So we have to be more clear exactly what are they talking about. Are they talking about a person in ihram or out of Ihram, then it will be different. Okay? Naam.